Welcome to Journal Club with Happy. I'm your host, Happy Kasai, and I'm a graduate student at Vanderbilt University. This podcast is structured as a short scientific journal club where I will discuss scientific papers and relate their major findings. Generally, journal clubs have a scientific audience ranging from undergraduate science students to university professors, and the communication during the sessions is of scientific jargon that is very niche to the field of study. For this podcast, I try very hard to use everyday language to explain science. It's not going to be easy, and you'll see me fail, but hopefully it will get better over time. I am also a science student, so in this podcast, we learn science together. You may have noticed that the episodes have a pleasant intro tune. The music was produced by my good friend Marco Pratinich. You may listen to more of his work on his Spotify account. I really like his song Jezero from his latest EP, Snowy. I'll add a link to his account under the episode notes so that you can check out his work. Thank you, Marco. For this episode, I have picked a paper that was published in Nature Communications in January of 2023. It is from the lab of Dr. Hal Blumenfeld at Yale School of Medicine, and the first author of the paper is Kian McCafferty. The title of the paper is Decreased but Diverse Activity of Cortical and Thalamic Neurons in Consciousness Impairing Rodent Absence Seizures. As always, I start reading a paper from its title. In this title, we see the mention of cortical and thalamic neurons, consciousness impairment, and absence seizures. Let's go through each of these terms and see how they relate to one another and become relevant to this study. Consciousness, or the state of being awake and responsive to the environment, is one important purpose of the brain. As living beings on Earth, we depend on our state of consciousness for survival. We meet our basic needs of getting our food and escaping danger because of consciousness. Consciousness also allows us to have abstract thoughts, imaginations, and all other mental capacities. It's a truly baffling human experience and has been a point of philosophical and scientific interest. Despite being this important, the state of consciousness could be lost due to multiple reasons, including nervous system problems or cardiovascular problems. For today, we'll focus on one nervous system problem that results in consciousness impairment, and that nervous system dysfunction is epilepsy. Epilepsy is a brain condition that causes recurring and unprovoked seizures. A seizure is an uncontrolled electrical activity in the brain that results in abnormal movement like stiffness or twitching. This burst of uncontrolled electrical activity could also result in abnormal behaviors and sensations, depending on the region of the brain that is experiencing the uncontrolled electrical activity. You may have experienced seizures yourself, or know someone who lives with epilepsy. It's actually very common to experience a seizure, but not have the disorder epilepsy. In fact, doctors diagnose patients with epilepsy after patients have had two or more seizures. There are multiple ways to classify epilepsy. One easy way to classify epilepsy would be on its effect on the state of consciousness. Some cases of epilepsy do not affect the consciousness of patients at all. Patients may only experience a jerking motion in their limbs, or altered sensory experiences like flashing lights or a change in smell, taste, or sound. The patients are aware of the seizures as they are experiencing them. Other types of epilepsy, however, impair the state of consciousness. During these seizures, patients are in a dreamlike state and lose their ability to sense the world around them. They may also experience abnormal movement patterns, and the patients are not aware of the seizures. And after the seizures pass, patients will be in a state of confusion about what happened during the seizure. Both types of epilepsy, one that affects consciousness and the one that does not, affect the lifestyle of patients. But types of epilepsy that impair consciousness are very difficult to live with. One form of epilepsy that affects the state of consciousness is absence seizures. Absence epilepsy causes brief yet recurring episodes of impaired consciousness. These seizure episodes may last 5 to 10 seconds. A typical symptom during these 5 to 10 seconds is patients lose consciousness and stare into space. There may or may not be abnormal body movements. Absence seizures have been associated with uncontrolled electrical activity in the cortex and thalamus. In the previous two episodes, I introduced neural circuits. Circuits are networks of nerve cells that synchronize the electrical activity and neurotransmitter release to serve a given purpose. In the first episode of the podcast, we saw dopaminergic circuits from the ventral tegmental area. In the second episode, we explored the communication between interneurons and pyramidal neurons in the somatosensory cortex. For this episode, we're going to look at a circuit formed between neurons and the thalamus and the cortex. Neuroscientists who study epilepsy refer to this circuit as thalamocortical circuit. In the word thalamocortical, we find thalamo, which stands for thalamus, and cortical to refer to the cortex. The thalamus and the cortex are both regions of the brain. The thalamus is responsible for relaying sensory information from our sense organs to the cortex for further processing and perception. It also serves multiple purposes, including sleep, wakefulness, consciousness, and learning. The cortex receives sensory information from the thalamus and creates our perception. The cortex has different regions that specialize for different purposes. But for today, we'll be focusing on the somatosensory cortex. This is the part of the cortex that processes touch, pain, and temperature. The neurons in both regions of the brain undergo uncontrolled electrical activity during a seizure. Human functional magnetic resonance imaging scans, or MRI scans, have showed that seizures are associated with a decrease in cortical activity, while there is an increase in activity in the thalamus. I will repeat that once again because it's very important for today's paper. Functional MRI scans show a decrease in cortical activity and an increase in thalamic activity during absence seizures. This is important because previous studies that were conducted in animals have showed an increase in cortical activity instead of the decrease that we see in humans with absence epilepsy. There was a general prediction for the reason behind this mismatch, and that prediction was that this mismatch could have been due to the use of anesthesia in animal studies. The use of sedatives may have brought about the increase in cortical neuron activity. That has created an obstacle in epilepsy research because the animal studies do not fully mimic the human disease. Another obstacle in the field was the lack of behavioral studies in animals to measure responsiveness during an absence seizure. As I've said before, absence seizures involve a loss of consciousness where a patient becomes unresponsive to their environment. As you may imagine, designing a behavioral experiment to measure responsiveness in a model animal experiencing a seizure is a very difficult task. With all this in mind, McCafferty and colleagues use a rat model called Genetic Absence Epilepsy Rats of Strasbourg and model the behavior and electrophysiology of absence seizures without using anesthetics. Their primary purpose was to recreate human absence seizures in laboratory rats and study the seizures. I hope that gives you a good introduction to the starting point of this study. Now let's look at the findings of this paper and see if the researchers were successful at designing a model for absence seizures. The first exciting result was the match in functional MRI scans between humans and the model epileptic rats. In the absence seizure model that the authors proposed, the cortical region had decreased activity during a seizure, which matches results from human patients with absence seizures. On top of that, the model also showed functional MRI increases in the thalamus during seizures. I would repeat that result. During a seizure, the rats will have decreased activity in the cortex and increased activity in the thalamus. From this first result, we can already see that the rat model mimics the human disease better than previous models. Functional MRI was the technique that they used to come up with this first finding. Functional MRI is one technique that lets us know which regions of the brain are active. It uses the amount of blood flow to a brain region to determine levels of activity. Blood carries the oxygen and nutrients that neurons require for their activity. Therefore, higher electrical activity will need to be accompanied with an increased blood flow, and that increased blood flow is visible using the technique of functional MRI. After they have validated their model with functional MRI, the researchers looked at the visible manifestation of absence epilepsy, which is the loss of consciousness during the seizures. In human studies, which are typically conducted in children, there are two behavioral tasks used to study absence seizures. The first task is called a human continuous performance task. This task requires a patient to perform a task continuously while doctors observe how the task is disturbed during a seizure. Of course, it's very hard to present this task to rats. However, the authors designed a clever experiment by teaching the rats to lick a fluid dispenser that provided sugary water after hearing a 45 decibel tone at 8 kilohertz for half a second. I'll explain how this works. There's a speaker near the experiment cage that produces a sound of 45 decibels for half a second every 2.5 to 3.5 seconds. When the rats hear the sound, they have 10 seconds to lick the fluid dispenser and get a serving of sugary water. The intensity and frequency of the sound used in this experimental setup allowed the researchers to teach the mice without interrupting their seizures. This behavioral task required the rats to continuously pay attention to a sound cue and react by licking the sugar dispenser. The second behavioral task used in this study mimicked the human repetitive tapping task. This task is very similar to the task that I described earlier. In humans, participants will be asked to continuously finger tap with no stimulus, and doctors observed how the tapping is disturbed during an episode of an absence seizure. In this study, the rats were taught to lick the sugary water dispenser, but there was no sound tone to condition the licking behavior, and the frequency of the sugar water dispenser was irregular and varying. These two tasks allowed the researchers to measure the responsiveness of the rats when they are experiencing absence seizures. In both licking behavioral setups, the licking activity of the rats decreased when they were experiencing a seizure. Before the seizure starts, the rats would continuously lick the dispenser in order to get sugar. That licking activity decreases when the rats experience a seizure, and when the seizure ends, the rats will resume a normal licking frequency that was similar to their activity before the seizure. These results from the licking experiment showed that the rat model for absence epilepsy accurately mimics the human disease because the mice fail to interact with their environment and have impaired consciousness during the seizures. The third important finding in this paper came from field electrophysiology recordings. Field electrophysiology is a technique of measuring neuronal activity using silicon-based electrodes that are implanted into the target brain regions, which in this case are the thalamus and the somatosensory cortex. The electrodes will record the electrical activity of a field of neurons. Now, it's important to understand what field recordings are. A field recording does not measure the electrical activity of a single neuron, but a group of neurons around the tip of the electrode. It gives a very good description of the electrical activity of a small region of the brain, and from the recordings, we can tell if there is higher or lower neuronal activity during a seizure. The field recordings in the brain gave more insight in how the cortical and thalamic neurons changed their electrical activity during a wave of absence seizures. There was an interesting trend of activity in both regions of the brain. 2 to 3 seconds before the start of the seizure, there was a brief decrease in firing rate. And then right before the seizure starts, there was a brief peak in firing. And this brief peak in firing marked the start of the seizure. And during the seizure, there were four classes of activity, which I'll describe. The first class is the group of neurons that had a sustained increase in activity during the seizure. These neurons experienced a high firing rate that was sustained during the seizure. The second class had a sustained decrease in activity that lasted until the end of the seizure. And these neurons dampened their firing rates throughout the episode of absence seizure. The third class of neurons had a transient peak in electrical activity at the onset of seizures that was followed by a decrease to baseline. This class is responsible for the brief peak at the start of a seizure. The fourth class and the last class of neurons were not affected by the seizure at all, and their firing rates stayed the same throughout the seizure. I'll go through that once again. 2 to 3 seconds before a seizure starts, there's a decrease in firing rate of neurons in the cortex and thalamus. This decrease is followed by a brief peak in firing rate from a class of neurons to mark the start of the seizure. So not all neurons will have a brief peak in firing rate, but a class of them will. And during the seizure, classes of neurons experienced three patterns. There was a class of neurons that was not affected by the seizure, and there were classes of neurons that either sustained a high firing rate or a low firing rate during the seizure. When it comes to percentages, the second class, which are the neurons that had the sustained decrease in activity, made up about 50% of the neurons in the cortex and the thalamus, and they are responsible for the general decrease in electrical activity during a seizure. This identification of these classes of neurons based on their firing pattern is a novel finding in the field of absence seizure research, and it provides good targets for intervention. In human patients with absence epilepsy, we can target a specific class of neurons and prevent the seizures from occurring. Of course, this is a long way ahead and requires much more research. However, it makes me hopeful, and I hope it has the same effect on you. With that, I conclude today's episode. I hope you enjoyed the study and learned from it. As always, I'll add a PubMed link to the paper to the episode notes so that you can check out the full paper. I'd also like to thank my friend Marco for producing the music for this podcast. You may find a link to his account in the episode notes. Until next week, ciao.